You're listening to the Men Overseas Podcast, a show that explores methods and ideas to help you live a bigger life. You will hear interesting stories of how people live, how they save and invest their money, and why having time wealth is better than being a billionaire. If you are entertained, educated, or elevated, be sure to hit the subscribe button. We're just getting started. Now here is your host, Brad D'Antonio.
Hello, friends. I'm so glad you're joining me today. I almost didn't get an episode recorded this week. I've had a rough one, but I visited a total pro, this pain management doctor in Gdańsk, Poland, where we are, and he injected into my cervical spine, and I finally felt good enough to record. So glad you're with me. I'm glad to be here. I enjoy doing this. I hope you enjoy listening. It feels good to be able to talk into a microphone. And I got a backup mic right here. Testing. Yeah, they both work. And guess what? They don't like no feedback. What's up? That's not me. That's Joe Dirtè, when I church it up, at least. That's one of my favorite movies ever. Certainly the one I've probably quoted the most. I used to watch it a lot. In the summer of 2002, I probably watched that movie 12 times. And I was playing baseball at the time, and we'd quote it on the bus. Big Joe Dirt fan. Speaking of movies, I shared this once before, but I was in a movie once, and I was in second grade, and I was paid $40 for the day for work that was not fun. I had to dance around a pot wearing scraps, which I still have, actually. I think it's in a box somewhere, just as a memento that I was in a movie. We must have done 100 takes that day, and when the movie came out, you couldn't even see me. I was so upset. But at age 7, I had never heard of an extra, so I didn't realize that I was one. But I bring that up because I was a big fan of Chevy Chase back then. He was the star of the movie. And I thought, I watched Saturday Night Live at that time, and through the years, I thought I knew all about him. But I keep learning new things, like such as, you know where that comes from, right? Like such as, it's from the Miss Teen USA pageant, where the gal from South Carolina was asked, this was back in 2007, she was asked why she thought a fifth of Americans couldn't locate U.S. on a map. And as she explained it, she said, I personally believe that U.S. Americans should help South Africa and like the Iraq everywhere, like such as, and it was maybe one of the first YouTube videos to go viral. It's still up there. You can find it. But it was pure gold. She could make Kamala Harris look and sound like a Rhodes Scholar. Maybe not look. Definitely not look. Make her sound like a Rhodes Scholar. But I was saying, I keep learning new things about Chevy Chase. So, for example, I learned a few years ago that he's not funny anymore. Like many men who used to be funny. I don't know if it's loss of testosterone. That's probably my theory, if I had to have one. Going low T as they age. Seems to be associated with adding some TDS and, well, losing their jobs as a result, right? Stephen Colbert and Howard Stern just lost his job. I guess it turns out expressing contempt for half the country is bad for business. But did you know that Chevy Chase, this is the part I thought was interesting. In college, he was in a band with two other fellas. It was a jazz rock trio called Leather Canary. I love when bands have creative names. I think that's great. But old Clark Griswold didn't see a future for the band, so he quit, and he went off to be an actor. And the two other guys kept playing music as a duo and changed the band's name. You know what they changed it to? Steely Dan. How about that? So I would say all three of them avoided reeling in the years and stowing away the time. But speaking of bands, bands will make our dance. I don't want to go there. I don't know why rap music is so attached to me, but I was at the local sauna here in Gdańsk. And in this part of the world, they're very proud of saunas. They're saunas. Saunas of the Finnish variety. And there's a hotel right down across the river from where we're staying. So unlike Estonia, we haven't found a gym that has a sweet sauna set up. The gym we went to in Tallinn, Estonia, had an awesome steam room, sauna, pool, jacuzzi, and since I can't work out, I'd go there just for that. because it's pretty much the only way I can get my heart rate elevated by way of static cardio, which is so good for you, by the way, because time in the sauna mimics high-intensity cardio. And the latest research on saunas says that frequent sauna usage is associated with substantially reduced risks of all-cause mortality. And these studies come out of Finland, and I'll tell you why that's important here in a minute, but what they say is that compared to those who don't use the sauna frequently, those who do, which they consider to be 4 to 7 times a week, have about a 40% lower risk of death from all causes. And that getting in the sauna just 2 to 3 times a week is linked with about a 24% reduction in all-cause mortality compared to if you just went once a week. And they also said that the protective effect increases with more frequent use and longer duration of your sessions in the sauna. So, for example, men who get in there for 19 minutes had significantly lower risk of sudden cardiac death and fatal cardiovascular disease. And the reason I say it's a Finnish study is because I was in Finland just a few months ago, and you might be thinking, as I did, that, well, it would make sense that sauna users would have these amazing outcomes compared to the rest of the population, because when you think about it, those who are able to use the sauna a lot, they typically, they have higher incomes if they're able to go to the sauna or have a membership somewhere to be able to do that. They probably have more leisure time, and that leisure time would allow for somebody to spend an hour in the sauna every week, whereas some people can't do that. Well, having been in Finland and other parts of Scandinavia and the Baltics, Eastern Europe, where I am now, you don't see fat people. So a study on sauna usage out of Finland, I believe, would be more legit, let's say, than a study out of Jackson, Mississippi or New Orleans, where you're like, yeah, it makes sense. Sauna users are more, they're likely very health conscious and lead a healthy lifestyle. I don't know if I've shared this before, but when I was living in New Orleans a few years ago during COVID, I went to join a gym and I asked the guy if it gets crowded. And he was like, no, man, you'll pretty much have the gym to yourself most days. And I said, why is that? And he laughed and said, because in New Orleans, Thursdays are happy hour. People take a nap after work on Friday instead of going to the gym so they can go out on Friday night. And then they're hungover on Saturday. And then you got Sunday fun day, which means they're recovering on Monday and they have to go to work. So you'll see some people in here on Tuesday and Wednesday, but that's probably about it. And then I proceeded to gain 30 pounds in the 18 months we were living there. So I guess I became one of them. But in my defense, that was during COVID and the gyms were closed a lot, but the food is so good, it's hard to avoid. I had a buddy who was living in New Orleans for work. This was probably 15 years ago. He was only there for a year. And I said, how'd you like living there? And he said, it's a great place to visit, but I would never want to live there again. And I said, why? And he said, now this is a longtime friend of mine, very hardworking dude, he grinds every day. You know, he's all about getting better every day. And he said, there's just no ambition there. And people are just living for the weekend, which evidently, according to that one gym manager, the weekend lasts from Thursday to Monday. And then maybe there's a fat Tuesday thrown in there every once in a while. I could also see where if you're not from there, it could be kind of hard to get ahead. And if you don't drink, it's damn near impossible to get ahead. Because like if you're a lawyer in New Orleans, the way to network is you go to the bar often. And if you don't do that, I could see you struggling. But it helps so much to be from down there. There's a bond that I have with people down there because I'm from down there. And it's usually not so friendly they're friendly to outsiders, but you don't have that connection when you didn't grow up there, I would say. One time I was on a bike tour in the French Quarter, and there was this couple from Manhattan with us on the tour. And we came up to this beautiful house for sale on Esplanade Avenue, which is a historic street. And it's known for big, grandiose sort of homes, and the architecture is beautiful. And the husband asked the tour guide, how much are they asking for the house? And the tour guide said, $600,000. And the wife's eyes lit up and she nudged the husband and was like, honey, we should buy it and move down here. And she was all excited. And the tour guide said, yeah, you know, coming from Manhattan, the homes are going to be affordable for you. But I promise you, whatever you do there, we don't need here. And he said, what do you do, sir? And he said, I install smart technologies in homes on the Upper East Side, so you don't need to leave your couch. You can just operate your curtains and speakers, surround sound, appliances, all from your couch. And the tour guide said, yeah, we don't need that here. And so I watched the wife's tires deflate. Not really. Anyway, I think the latest sauna usage studies are legit. So find a way in there. It's very beneficial for your health. In the sauna here a few nights ago in Gdansk, I met these two dudes who were from a small town in the southern part of Poland. They were on vacation here for a week. And one of their girlfriends, she was 19 years old. And she said she was from Ukraine. And I talked to him for quite a while. It was just us in there. Otherwise, people tend to think it's rude to not be quiet in the sauna. But it sure makes time fly by when you're having a conversation or even listening to AirPods, which I would do in the U.S., but you can't do. People fuss at you for doing that here because it gets so hot. And I think they're just trying to warn you, hey, bro, don't do that. You're going to ruin your AirPods. So that's happened to me, obviously. But this girl, since she was from Ukraine, I started asking how long she'd been in Poland and what part of Ukraine she was from and all that. Well, I met a lot of Ukrainians, not a lot, maybe like, I don't know, half a dozen, maybe seven or eight. And I'm so interested in their story. And she was the first person I've met that's from Donetsk, which is, if you're not familiar, in the far east of Ukraine, where things are really bad. And I was like, wow, you know, her being 19, I figured she's also the youngest Ukrainian I've met. And I figured at that age, that's military age, I figured she knew a lot of people who were fighting in the war with Russia. And so I asked her if a lot of guys her age were conscripted to fight on the front lines. And she said, yeah, some. But she said mostly they volunteered that they want to fight for our country. And I said, have some of them not come back? And she was like, what do you mean? And I said, have some of them lost their lives in the war? And she said, oh yes, many, many men have lost their lives. And I said, men you know? And she put her head down and said, my dad. And I was so sad. I almost felt bad for asking those sort of questions. But her dad was 44 years old. But they were great. I enjoyed talking to them. In fact, they asked me to go party with them that night. And I was like, no, y'all go ahead. I'm old. And they said, how old are you? And I said, 45. And one of the guys said, Americans always look younger than they are, which I found to be true. American men do tend to look younger than men in Eastern Europe, especially when I first noticed this when I went to Romania. Like every man looked about 10 years older than they actually were. And I don't know why exactly. I mean, I have some theories. It could be higher incomes or the fact that many American men don't smoke anymore, and that's still very prevalent for men. You see a lot of men smoking here. Vaping is super duper popular among men and women, boys and girls. You know, I see young people doing it. But the girl was surprised too at my age. She was like, so you have children? I'm like, yeah. So they were going out to Ulica Elektrikal. Ulica means street, and that's the party street here in Gdansk, out near the shipyards. But I didn't even go look at it. I've never seen it. I went home and read a bedtime story to my little ones because I enjoy that more. Something funny happened yesterday. Speaking of my little girl, Aria, she likes to run ahead of us on the sidewalk, and she's careful. I mean, we tell her not to run too far ahead, and she knows if there's a street crossing coming up that she definitely needs to put on the brakes. Well, so we're walking along yesterday after visiting Sopot, which is a beautiful little beach town here. She's running ahead of us, and a big dump truck passes by and honks his air horn or train horn, whatever you call it. And it does the tune of Baby Shark, do-do-do-do-do-do. And he was doing it for her. She was the only one around. And it scared the living shit out of her. She went diving off the sidewalk, and she was wailing, crying. And I felt so bad for her. It even scared me because it was so loud. But that was cool of him to do that. I'm sure that wasn't the response he expected. But Yeah, she cried the whole way home. Let's talk about little girls in the U.S., because that's something I like to read about for obvious reasons. Did you know that in most wealthy countries right now, women have pretty much closed the gap in education and income and just overall achievement, professional achievement, like in the workplace? This comes from an article I read in City Journal. Rob Henderson reposted it and added to it, who I'm a big fan of. He's on X. If you're on there, you should follow him. But so these days, the majority of undergraduate and graduate degrees go to women. And that's true even in STEM. The majority of STEM degrees are had by women. And in big cities like Boston and New York City and LA, DC, women under 30 now make as much as men or more than men on average. However, even though men and women are alike in terms of income and education, they're becoming less aligned politically and how they view the world. So there are a lot of MAGA men among our youth admiring big balls who, if Trump, I don't know if you heard, he just defended a woman who was having her car stolen and was beaten up by eight youths, as Trump called them. If Trump doesn't put up a bronze statue of that dude with brass balls, he may not get my vote in 28. LOL. But here's what stood out in the article, which Mr. Henderson tweeted this part, actually. It's that prior to puberty, boys and girls are physically similar in size and also strength and just skill set, except for one thing. You want to guess what that is? I'll give you a second while you're thinking. It's not jumping. I remember in seventh grade, I had this argument with a girl in class, and she is half of a set of one of my favorite twin sets, if she's listening. She tried to tell me, I doubt she remembers this, but she tried to tell me that girls can jump higher than boys. And I was like, no way that's true. Because at that age, when I was 12, I didn't know any girls that were playing above the rim, the 8.5-foot goal that we played on in Biddy basketball. I mean, watching them was like watching the WNBA. But I let her be wrong, and I went to look for somebody else to talk to, because I've shared this before, but school wasn't my thing. And, you know, I was trying to develop my social skills, I guess, so I could succeed in business and maybe, I don't know, start a podcast someday. Speaking of that, there's an argument for not punishing your kid for poor grades. And that's something I would have a tough time doing, because socialization, in my opinion, developing people skills is just as important as good grades. So I don't know that I'd keep my kid in his room while all the other kids are meeting at the Moon Tower. You know, he spends enough time in his room already, but I'm a little bit different. They get it. Anyway, you have an answer? What's the one thing that separates boys and girls prior to puberty? I'll tell you, it's throwing. So by age 3, boys can throw farther, faster, and with better accuracy than girls. And there's no other physical activity when kids are young. There's no other activity that there's such a big gap between boys and girls. And by the time the sexes hit puberty, the throwing advantage of boys triples. And this article said that it's evident all around the world, even in hunter-gatherer societies. But let's talk about Russia and Ukraine a bit, since I'm over here. I posted a video in my stories of a bunch of Abrams tanks that were shipped here from the U.S., and a former Marine friend of mine and future podcast guest, he might be my next guest, actually, he's flown a lot of combat missions. I believe he was a Cobra attack pilot. He replied to my story and said to that particular story and said that 300 drones would destroy those and that the battlefield has changed. And it makes you wonder if the future of warfare isn't just drones and robots battling it out. But remember I told you how many people that I talk to, a lot of Europeans in Estonia, or they fear Putin is going to invade the Baltics? Well, that sentiment exists here in Poland too. And just like in Tallinn, I see on signs in front of shops and like when you're on the train and on sides of buildings, you'll see graffiti where there'll be like a skull and bones and it'll say, "We want Putin dead." It's so tragic what's happening. And I don't see it ending diplomatically. meaning the war, it's, I don't think it's going to end with any sort of negotiated settlement. Why is that? Well, because Ukraine isn't going to agree to what Putin proposes, or demands, rather. His demands are no NATO expansion, which, for whatever reason, we've been hell-bent on doing for the past 30 years, you know, trying to expand NATO eastward. There can't be any security guarantees for Ukraine, so Putin wants Ukraine neutralized militarily. And then, probably most importantly, he wants Ukraine to relinquish the territory that is now occupied by Russia. He's got, what, a fifth of Ukrainian territory at this point? It's 20% of the country on the east. But if there's a silver lining for those concerned about invasion here in Poland and other parts of Eastern Europe, you know, those that fear Putin's going to try to revive the Soviet Union by invading the Baltics and Hungary and Czechia and Romania, all that, you can take solace in the fact that Putin has never said he wants to do that. He's talked about how he understands it's in the hearts of people to restore the Soviet Union, that they long for what was past, but he has said, like, in your head, that's not a good idea. So he doesn't want to restore the Soviet Union. And related to the territory he's conquered, it's taken him, what, since 2022 the war started? It's taken him that long to take the eastern part of Ukraine? 3 years? And he's taken a million casualties on the Russian side? If that's any indication of Russia's military capabilities, that doesn't bode well for his chances of conquering all of Eastern Europe and then proceeding to Western Europe. I'm not even sure he'd have success taking Western Ukraine, because over there are millions of ethnic Ukrainians who hate Russia with a passion. And knowing what I know now about the Polish people, having been to the Uprising Museum and having conversations, like with my doctor about, I mean, he was so knowledgeable about all things World War II and the Cold War. The Poles would put up one hell of a fight to the death. And of course, they'd get assistance from NATO, from us, which unfortunately is what Ukraine is willing to do rather than negotiate a settlement. They're too proud. That's not my opinion. I should say they're very proud. Too proud. But it's nationalism, that it's their pride in their country that has them fighting to the death to preserve their country, which is admirable, albeit, I think, not advisable, because so many people are dying. So Ukraine should probably cut their losses and get a deal, but that's not something, it doesn't look like they're going to do. The first I had ever heard of bioweapons labs that we're funding, evidently, in Ukraine, was from a podcast I did with a Russian guest. And you may find this interesting. I was sent a message recently asking me to remove that episode from all platforms because Putin has since passed a law prohibiting any criticism of the Russia-Ukraine conflict, and it's punishable by jail time. So it has been removed. But even more recently, after it was removed, I was sent another message saying that there was still mention of the episode on Google. And I don't know what to do about that. So that'll be the last you hear me talk about it, I guess. But the last thing I'll say for today is, and this would be to my European friends primarily who fear a Russian invasion. The Russians, there's no talk of that. It would be stupid. The Russians have long memories. You remember the Putin interview? Remember he interviewed with Tucker Carlson, and he went over 1,000 years of Russian history? They certainly remember the problems they ran into when they occupied Eastern Europe. They occupied Eastern Europe from 1945 to, what, 1990-ish? They had all kinds of problems during that time. They had to invade Hungary in 1956. They sent tanks into Wenceslas Square in 1968. That's in Prague. They had to deal with little insurrections in Yugoslavia and Albania. Well, I shouldn't say little insurrections because people died, but that was in Albania. That was 1961. There were tensions because the Albanian communists believed that Moscow was too accommodating to the U.S. And so they seized a bunch of Soviet submarines. And the Russians or the Soviets almost had to go into Poland three different times. So, you know, what do I know? I'm just some podcaster, but so take what I say with a little less than a grain of salt, but Putin's no dummy. He knows it would be a mess. He wouldn't get himself into a mess. He'd be in a quagmire just at the hint of invading Poland or the Baltics or basically any Eastern European country. You think Orban would take well to being invaded? You don't think Trump would do something about that? So yeah, any country, any Eastern European country beyond Ukraine, I just don't think it's going to happen. So I think you can rest easy, but that's just, of course, one man's opinion. And if I still have any leftists listening, all three of you, learn something before you opine. I see so much crap on my feed. If you wouldn't want Russian biolabs on the U.S.-Mexico border or Russian missiles in Cuba, then stop with all the Russophobia. Ask yourself what the hell the Bidens were doing in Ukraine, or research what went on in Kiev in 2014. Know who Victoria Nuland is, for Christ's sake. But yeah, calling somebody a Putin apologist in 2025, that's like calling somebody racist. And you're showing your ass, and it stinks. All right, enough on that. Let's end on a lighter note. So the poll, the dudes I met that I was telling you about, they told me they wanted to visit the U.S., and they asked where they should go. And I said, well, everybody goes to New York, so you know, you don't want to be like everybody else. I said, I'd go to Chicago, and one of them jumps in and said, well, what about Vegas? And I said, you know, it's so interesting you say Vegas, because I don't know if you've heard, but it's a lot less crowded these days because evidently people your age, they were 27. I said, they don't so much go to Vegas anymore. And I said, a lot of those people who were crowding the casinos in Vegas are on Carnival cruises now, and they're having problems because you can't smoke weed and play your own music on the ship anymore. I didn't explain all that to him, but I said, are you a gambler? And he said, no, I want to see Bruno Mars. And I said, go for it, dude. I said, you should go to Vegas. And I said, make sure to check out the Cirque shows. I said, they are all excellent. Everyone I've never been to a bad Cirque show. And I haven't been in probably 10 years, and they were $150 a ticket. But I always felt like I got my money's worth. I don't know what they cost now. But I said, if you go out after that, you just make sure you tip Crystal with a K and Sapphire. That's all I've got for you today. Thank you all for tuning in. We'll chat back at you next time. Make it a great day. God bless y'all.